The Public Works Administration paid for the aircraft carriers Yorktown and Enterprise, as well as four cruisers, many smaller warships, and over 100 Army planes parked at 50 military airports. Perhaps one reason so many people believe the New Deal ended the Depression is that the New Deal's segue into a full-blown war economy was so seamless. Old Wilson hands infested every level of the Roosevelt bureaucracy. This makes sense in that Roosevelt's was the first Democratic administration since Wilson. Even so, the New Dealers weren't looking for mere retreads. They wanted war veterans. When Holger Cahill at first declined the invitation to head the Federal Art Project, a colleague explained, "An invitation from the government to a job like that is tantamount to an order. It's like being drafted." Not only did government agencies organize themselves along military lines, but the staffers spoke in military jargon. Fieldwork was work in the trenches. Junior staffers were called non-coms. New federal programs went over the top, and so on. Perhaps no program better represented the new governmental martial outlook than the Civilian Conservation Corps, or CCC. Arguably the most popular program of the New Deal, the CCC mobilized some 2.5 million young men into what could only be called paramilitary training. CCCers mostly worked as a forestry army, clearing dead wood and the like. Enlistees met at Army recruiting stations, wore World War I uniforms, were transported around the country by troop trains. Answer to Army sergeants, were required to stand at attention, march in formation, employ military lingo, including the duty of calling superiors sir, read a CCC newspaper modeled on stars and stripes. Went to bed in Army tents listening to taps, and woke to reveille. After the CCC was approved by Congress, FDR reported, "It is a pretty good record, one which I think can be compared with the mobilization carried on in 1917. The Speaker of the House boasted of the CCC's success. "They are also under military training, and as they come out of it, they come out improved in health and developed mentally and physically and are more useful citizens, and if ever we should become involved in another war, they would furnish a very valuable nucleus for our army." Meanwhile, the Nazis were establishing similar camps for virtually identical reasons. The chief motive among social planners was to get young men out of the mainstream workforce. The public arguments tended to emphasize the need to beef up the physical and moral fiber of an embryonic new army. FDR said the camps were ideal for getting youth off the city street corners. Hitler promised his camps would keep youth from rotting helplessly in the streets. Mussolini's various battles, the Battle of the Grains and such, were defended on similar grounds. A second rationale was to transcend class barriers, an aspect of the program that still appeals to liberals today. The argument, then as now, is that there are no common institutions that foster a sense of true collective obligation. There's merit to this point, but it's interesting that the Nazis were far more convinced of this rationale than the New Dealers, and it informed not only their labor service program, but their entire domestic agenda.
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.